With me to the book of John, chapter number 6. John, chapter number 6, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Begin reading in verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." I want to preach today on I am the bread of life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house today with your people. And Lord, there's a special privilege, Lord, when we come together of knowing that you're going to meet with us. You already have, and you've spoken to us, Lord, through music, singing. Lord, now we come to the time of the preaching of the Word of God, and I pray for a special anointing and a divine unction upon the messenger, and that your message would be delivered. Lord, how I need thee. I need thy help. Lord, everybody here needs a touch from you today, and I pray for those that are here without Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day. This would be the day, Lord, that they come to trust thee. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that you would help us to see to a greater understanding what we have in Christ Jesus, that may live for thee. Lord, please hide me behind the cross. Today I pray that we would see thee and hear from thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have a great discourse here on the bread of life that the Lord Jesus is giving. Here in John chapter number 6 are some great stories. We begin John chapter 6 with a feeding of the 5,000. And there's no doubt when these people saw what the Lord Jesus did, they understood this is a great man. They called him a prophet. It was sent into this world. They wanted to follow after him and see more of his miracles and understand more things about him and watch him as he worked. But when there was the time of the separation, when they left one another, you remember that the disciples got on board a ship and they were going to sail across to Capernaum. But Christ didn't get on that ship. He went up into a mountain to pray. And while he was praying in the middle of the night, and the disciples were on board the ship, they were out there, and the Lord Jesus came walking to them on the water. And he gets on board the ship, and all the multitudes of people didn't see that he did this. And so the next day, they go down to where they were, where he spoke to them, where the 5,000 were fed, and they look across, and they see that ship. The only ship that was over on the other side was the ship where the disciples got on, and they knew that the Lord didn't get on that ship. But then there were other ships that made their way over that way, and the news apparently comes back that Jesus is over there, and they had no idea how he got over there, but many of them get on board other ships and they go over there to Capernaum and they're going to hear the Lord speak. He had to leave because they were going to make he knew they were going to try to make him a king. And so that's why he had to leave that day and go up into the mountain to pray. So now they're pursuing after him. He's already fed the 5,000. He's done something great in their midst. And now he begins to speak and he begins to give us the discourse on the bread of life. And he speaks here concerning himself, who he is. He don't talk about his offices or just words that he has to say or even of works, but he says, "I am that bread of life." And what he's saying is, you need to look to me. Sometimes we talk about the attributes of the Lord and we forget to look at Christ himself. The Bible says that we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're to understand that we need to get our eyes on him. Somebody said so many times we're so busy looking at the streams that we forget to look at the fountainhead, and that's where all the streams come from. And sometimes we look at all the different things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to get our eyes fixed on him and gazing upon him and see him for who he is. He said, I am that bread of life. He is the living bread. And when he touches your life, you were dead but made alive through him. And the living bread becomes your life. When we think about the Lord Jesus, we realize that he brings life to those that are dead physically. The Bible says, tells us a story about how he meets a funeral procession outside the city of Nain, and he says, young man, arise, and the young man sits up in the casket. He goes and he takes a little girl by the hand and he says to the little girl, rise up, and she sits up on her bed. He's standing outside the tomb of a man by the name of Lazarus, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the tomb alive and well. But just as he gave life to those that were physically dead, I want you to understand that he gives life to those that are spiritually dead. He can touch your life and make you a new creature. He can take you who are dead in trespasses and sin and quicken you and make you alive. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. What a wonderful Savior he is. He's not only the bread for the living, but he's life for the dead. He's Christ, the Son of God. Do you realize as you go through this world, you're hungry and you're thirsty for something? Physically, yes. Every day we have to have certain things to sustain us. But we go through our bodies and our lives are always looking for something spiritually to fill us. And people try to fill those emptiness, those voids, those things, those empty places in their life with things, with things that cost money or things that do things to their body that make them forget yesterday. But there always is a need for more, and it never is sufficient. It never satisfies. It never takes care of what you need. But dear friends, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find that he's all that you need. He is that bread of life. He is that bread of life. In him dwells all the spirit, the fullness of all that the spiritual life can possibly require. When we think about the bread of life, I want to look at just a few things today in understanding this living bread that we're talking about. When Jesus said, I am that bread of life, he said, I am the living bread. And today as we think about this, I want you to see that he is the living bread that satisfies. He is the living bread that satisfies. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 30. Of our text, the Bible says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Here we find that the Lord Jesus is speaking to these people that are seeking after Him. He knew they were going to try to make Him king. He goes over to the other side. He's over at Capernaum now. They've already seen Him feed the 5,000 beside the women and the children. They've already seen the miracle of how He blessed the bread and He broke it and passed it out to His disciples. His disciples passed it out to companies of 50, to companies of 100. 5 loaves, 2 fish, fed the multitudes of people, and they filled up the basket with fragments that remain. They've already seen what a miracle working God He is, and they come to Him and they begin to ask Him certain questions, and they begin to say, give us a sign. Who are you? What are you? What can you be to us? God gave our fathers manna in the desert. Jesus said, I want you to understand, God's given you something more than that. God's given you the true bread. And when you take a bite of this bread, when you consume this bread into your life, I am the bread of life. And he that believeth on me shall never hunger. In other words, you'll be satisfied. You will be satisfied. Take a bite, you'll be satisfied. There's a hunger, dear friend, in the soul of man that nothing in this world can ever satisfy. You'll look down every avenue. You'll go down every street. You can try every vice that the world has, every gimmick, every remedy. You can cross the world over looking for that satisfaction. But that only satisfaction can be found in Jesus. It's something that cannot be bought. It's something that you do not work for. It's something that you don't gain by just attaining knowledge. It's something that has been sent and given to all who will receive. And the only thing that can satisfy is that bread which came down from heaven. So many times we talk about the illustration of the manna that the children of Israel ate, being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly manna. But day by day, when we understand the children of Israel ate this manna day by day, but they had to have more the next day and more the next day. It was only a type. It was not the true Christ. And they would get enough and they would be filled, and they would gather enough on the sixth day so that on the Sabbath day they would get double on that day so that they would have enough and rest on the Sabbath. But every day they had to have more manna and more manna and more manna in order for them to be able to survive, to be satisfied, to have those needs met. But Christ says, I want you to understand, God sent down the manna, yes, for those that were wandering in the desert, for those that were out there in the wilderness, and God provided that. But it was something that you had to have more of every day of your life. But when you take a bite of me, you'll never hunger again, because you'll be satisfied. Jesus Christ is the living bread. So satisfying that once you've tasted, you'll not hunger. The Bible says in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In other words, it's not something you have to go back to over and over and over again. It just takes one time of trusting Christ. It's one instant. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and He will satisfy. He is the living bread that satisfies. And He is the living bread that is sufficient. Notice what the Bible says once again in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live for a while. No? Oh, y'all got that good Bible, right? The Bible says, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And dear friend, whether you're here today and you're saved or you're lost, this life is filled with labors. This life is filled with griefs. This life is filled with anguish. This life is filled with heartache. This life is filled with sorrow. But dear friends, if we get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and feed on Him, we're going to find out that He's sufficient for the times of trouble. He's sufficient for the times of sorrow. He's sufficient for the times of heartache. He's sufficient for the times of labor. He's sufficient for the times of pain. He is sufficient for the times of anguish. All we need is Jesus Christ, and He will help us to make it through this world. He said, I am that bread of life. We look to everything and everybody, and the answer is found in Him. He's sufficient for all things and for every need that we'll ever face. He's sufficient for the weakest of babes, for He is the milk of the Word. And then for the seasoned saint, for the full-grown Christian, for the one that has lived their life now for many years following Christ, He's sufficient, for He is the meat of the Word. He's everything you need. Everything. You know, sometimes people get saved and we expect them to automatically be full-grown. Because they're an adult. An adult gets saved and we think, boy, you know, I mean, they're saved now. They ought to do this. They ought to get the haircut. They ought to get this happen. They ought to take this off. They ought to put this on. They ought to smell like this. They ought to dress like this. They ought to act like this. They ought to do this and they ought to not do that. And they ought to blah, 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 blah. I mean, we just go on and on and on and on. Am I right? You know, so that's what, maybe that's what ought to happen. You bring your baby home from the hospital. You ought to say, oh, you ought to be walking by now. You ought to be, come on now, speak. You want something to eat, you're going to have to tell me. You know? Oh, they tell you, right? You don't want to wear that today? You're going to have to tell me you don't want to wear that today. See, that's what we have to understand. Is that these babes in Christ, they're not going to be full grown, mature, but you know what? He's still sufficient. It's the milk of the Word. He feeds them so that they can grow. They have this milk that comes into their life. And they begin to feed on that milk because they can't eat the meat, you know. How many of y'all have ever put a bite of steak into a newborn baby's mouth? Anybody here? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody's ever done that before? You've never done that? Why? Why? Somebody tell me why? Choke to death. Can't handle it. Not ready for it. Sometimes we try to shove things down new believers' lives. We have to learn to be patient because Christ is patient with them. But guess what? He's still sufficient. He's the milk. The sad thing is, for those that have been saved for years, still on the milk. And when I get up and I start preaching a little bit about the meat, and somebody goes, I didn't like what you had to say. You hurt my feelings. Was you talking about me, preacher? You was talking about me, weren't you? I wasn't talking about you, but the Holy Ghost must have sure pointed you out. I don't know. Somebody gets a little bit aggravated, upset, you know. Yeah, it's time for you to be on the meat. Sometimes I'll preach the meaty messages, you know, and it goes right over some of these baby Christians' heads. And that's good. That's fine. I don't want to stuff something out. But the only thing is, see, I have to try to feed a whole different kind of people here, you know. There's all different places. I don't feed them. I'm wanting Christ to feed them. That's why I try to give milk and meat every message. I try to give milk and meat, milk and meat. But guess what? Whether you're a babe in Christ or whether you've been a Christian for years, He is sufficient. Amen. He is sufficient. He came down from heaven and He said, if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh. Now that's not that we literally take His flesh as some religious circles believe. That's in He's given Himself. He's going to die on the cross for your sins. And then we don't eat His flesh. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're partaking of a symbol that symbolizes His body and His blood. But it doesn't turn into His body and blood. He is the living bread that is sufficient. When you feed on Him, He'll build you up. And He won't build you just in one direction. He's going to build you every way. He's going to open up different areas of your life because you're complete in Him. You're truly furnished to all good works. The Lord Jesus Christ meets all the wants of all His people, whether babes or mature, with a divine sufficiency. He's a living bread that's sufficient. Somebody said one time that He has a sweetness about Him that's peculiar to the taste of each individual. And I thought about that, and I thought, boy, that's true, because each of us have a special need in our life that somebody else may or may not have, and He's that special flavor for each one of us. Think about it. He is so sufficient for every need in our life. Whatever the need or whatever the necessity may be, He is the sufficient one for that necessity. He is the living bread. He's there. He satisfies. He's sufficient. Then I want you to see He is the living bread that sustains us. Notice what the Bible says in verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Christ is all the bread that you need while you're on your way to heaven. He'll sustain you all along the way. And we might get in situations sometimes where we don't know what to do, but He knows the way. He's going to take care of us. I read of a story of a young Christian that was a soldier. They were in a battle. They were in a war, and in the midst of a battle, they were talking about this. And he said his battalion was cut off from the main army, and all around them were the enemy. And the enemy would play mind games with them. They would holler out, "Surrender!" Somebody over here would holler, "Surrender!" Let them know all around them. They seemingly were surrounded. They had no way of knowing which way to get out. They were in trouble. Their water was gone. They had nothing to sustain them. They had one piece of artillery left, one shell left, and they decided instead of using it at the enemy because it wasn't going to do much good, that they were going to use it as a signal to prove to where they were, because they knew that their comrades or their fellow soldiers would be searching for them and looking for them. So they said, the soldier said, the night we decided to use this, we prayed and we pulled the trigger and we sent the shell up into the air with an explosion, just hoping. They said the next day there were planes that flew overhead and they began to drop canteens of water. And on it they put notes, "Don't worry, we're coming." We're coming. They were in a desperate situation and they thought, there's no way out of this. And they sent the signal up. And they got the response. Don't worry. We're coming. And sometimes we get in a desperate situation in our own lives and we look around and we feel like there is absolutely no way out of this. We are surrounded by the enemy. We are in all kinds of trouble. We do not know what to do, and we begin to remember how that we have one avenue, and that avenue is an almighty God, a living bread that will sustain us through life. He promised us He would sustain us, and we, by faith, we pull the trigger of prayer and we send up the signal, and then all of a sudden we get the response, don't worry, I'm coming. And before it gets too bad, He is going to come and take us away. You're going through life, you're searching, you're looking, you're desiring. You're hungry. You're looking for something to fulfill that emptiness, to fill that void, to feel that thing that you're desiring. You just want something to take place in your life. You've tried every avenue, maybe. You've tried religion. But it's not religion you need, it's a relationship. It's Christ. The psalmist said, oh, taste the Lord and see that He's good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He said, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever. He is that living bread. He satisfies. He's sufficient. And He will sustain you along the way. But you must come to Him and taste and see that He's good. You must come to Him and eat of this bread. You must come to Him and believe on Him. Because he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is exactly what you need. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. Then let the meat of the Word make you what God wants you to be. He's the living bread. Once we have Him, He's there to sustain us. Once we have Him, He's there to be our all-sufficiency. Once He's there, He can satisfy us. How sad it is that we have the living bread, but then we get so busy trying to satisfy ourselves every other way, then realize we can't always be satisfied in Christ. I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Have you tasted the Lord? Have you come to Him? Have you recognized yourself a sinner and understood that He's a Savior? Called upon Him, asked Him to forgive your sin, and by faith come into your life to be your Savior? He wants to save you. He wants you to have this life everlasting. He's done everything that needs to be done in order for you to be saved. But He is not going to force feed you. But He is going to make Himself available. And He's available to you right now. And if you'll come and taste, you'll see that the Lord is good. All around this sanctuary this morning, we could go and I could ask for a testimony of people that I know by their testimony, have trusted Christ as Savior. And I could say, is the Lord good? And every one of them would say, yes, He's good. Is He sufficient? Yes. Does He satisfy? Yes. Can He sustain? Yes. And if you're here and you've never had Christ in your life, you're missing out on what He has. I've watched Him work. When people thought all hope was gone, and they realized He was there all along. There's nothing and there's nobody like Him. This world can't do what Christ can do for you. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved for a long time. He sustained you all the way to this point. Well, guess what? He's going to sustain you all the way until He comes back. And you may feel like you're surrounded. But He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, what a Savior. I am the bread of life. Let's bow our heads. Our pianist and song leader comes to ready a hymn of invitation. Are you ready? Are you ready for eternity? The only way you can be ready for eternity is if you have come to this living bread and you've partaken of this living bread. You've trusted Christ by faith. If you say, preacher, I've done just exactly that. I know I'm not perfect, but I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I have trusted the perfect Savior, the living bread. I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there's no one looking. Would you please raise your hand as a testimony of your faith? I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I've trusted Christ. Would you lift your hand? Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for being honest. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It wouldn't embarrass anybody for the world. God's already speaking to your heart about this. Holy Spirit's already dealing with you about your need for Him. If you'll admit your need, it's the first step in taking care of that. You're here today and you say, preacher, I didn't raise my hand that I have the living bread, that I know that I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand that heaven's going to be my home. But right now I care enough about my soul and I care enough about my eternity that I want to admit that I'm hungry. I have a need. And I know that I've never trusted Christ, but I care enough that I'm going to ask that you pray for me about it. Would you raise your hand, preacher? That's me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I did lift my hand just a moment ago, but God's speaking to me. Would there be one right now? Raise your hand. Lord knows your heart. He already knows your life. How many of us say, preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. But I just need to trust Him more. And I need to realize that He will sustain me through life. That I know that He's sufficient, but I've got to trust Him with this. He satisfies. I know that. But I've got to trust Him with some things. And I'm dealing with some things. God's dealing with me about it. And I need you to pray with me. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Several hands. God bless you. The Lord knows. The Lord knows that need. He's sufficient. He's going to sustain you, but He is sufficient. Oh. May we turn that cannon of prayer to Him. And trust Him with it. May God help us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time and for Your Word. For these that have raised their hand, Lord, acknowledging that they know Christ as Savior. Thank You, Lord, that they've been satisfied by that living bread. Lord, our concern is for these that have raised their hand. Lord, things that they're dealing with, they just need to trust You for. And Lord, we're praying as they pray for me and I pray for them, as we pray together, Lord, about these things. Lord, help us to trust You. And help us, Lord, to come to that place where we give it to You and trust that You're going to take care of it. Then, Lord, our hearts burdened about these that didn't raise their hand either way about being saved or lost. May the Holy Spirit of God show them that there's no in-between. Lord, that they must make a decision. And Lord, that one day it'll be too late. And God, before they die and go to that terrible place called hell, I pray that they would have an understanding that Jesus already died for them. And that they can taste Him and they can come to Him and they can partake of Him and He'll give them new life. Oh God, even today, may they respond to Your Word. May the Holy Spirit do the work in all of our hearts and lives. And help us, Lord, to be obedient. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.